everything plugged that needs plugging?
All right. Yeah, sound good. I haven't heard you yet, but I sound good. That's all that matters.
Sure is.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
And I'm Ian Boothby. Those of you out there listening may remember when we briefly mentioned why not vote for us in our local...
I don't think we ever mentioned that.
We did once.
Are you sure?
Yeah, very sure that we did
once. You mentioned it to me before the show.
Nope. I think I said it on the air. But let me get to the point of
this.
Let's
go back to the tape on that one.
Here we go. We can go back to the tape. We're going to go listen to this for a while. You guys just talk amongst yourselves. We're going to go listen to a whole episode and see if I talked about this. Anyway, the results are in, David.
Yeah.
And the results are...
Third place tied.
No.
With
no, well, here was the
local
thing.
Local radio station.
Here was what happened to me today. On Facebook, there's a thing that I've got like kind of a notification thing, whereas if someone mentions me on Facebook, I read about it in my email.
Is that pleasant?
It pops. It sometimes is, sometimes isn't.
Okay.
So it pops up. But say the person then goes, oh, no, 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 and then erases that.
Yeah.
It's still in my email, so okay. I get to see what they said.
Yeah.
So there was a person congratulating someone on winning. Or coming in second,
sure,
in the podcast,
yeah,
and then said you're better than the number one where I don't listen to, and way better than that Ian Boothby jerk store. So apparently we were after that.
Yeah.
So this podcast, which some people now have called a jerk store.
I would like a ruling on what exactly is a jerk store.
I think that comes from this, David, where the jerk store called. Yeah. They've run out of you.
Okay,
that's the joke.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I believe there's even, Dave, I think there's even bumper stickers and posters with that.
Well, you know,
there definitely are GIFs
If it's not a poster in the form of doodle art, I'm not interested.
So I went, oh, that's odd. Someone's complaining about us coming in third or fourth.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, let's go check that out. And then I couldn't for the life of me find online, because it came out today,
yeah,
who won. And I'm like, okay, I assume like it would be like a Stop Podcasting Yourself or Caustic, yeah, Soda or
the usual suspects.
There's, yeah, a number of other podcasts in, sure, town that, you know, might have
already to trample
maybe
us,
Science
and,
Us would, yeah, be exactly, you know, a new fresh podcast, new, yep, fresh voice.
Exactly.
So anyway, so I did not see that, and I didn't see best blog, which is also one of the categories. I didn't see you know, best local television show, all these
best
other,
tweet,
a lot of things. Yeah, best, yeah, best tweeter. That's
just one tweet.
Just one tweet.
Yeah.
Best, oh, that
tweet
would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I looked it all up, and there's nothing. And then I got a newspaper, and there's nothing. So I wrote to the editor, and the editor said there wasn't enough interest, so we just canceled the category. So wow, good job, local media, getting the word out on yourself.
Yeah, that's
us included.
Yes, that's
us included. But like,
if we had mentioned it one more time, we may have been first.
But I love that, like, these, like, the ones that normally beat us.
Damn.
And what, listen, yeah, I'm friends with the people who beat us. I've been on the shows, sure, of both of the people that always beat us.
Yeah. Well, you're Canadian.
I'm Canadian.
You have to be.
It's great. They're
you
great.
Have to be friends.
They are totally
people.
Great shows. And they've, yeah, got really nice ratings. Sweet, sweet ratings.
Yeah.
So out of all these people, you know, not enough interest to even make a category at all. So there you go. So that's why there was nothing about that.
I suppose, like us, they didn't bother to mention it on the show.
No, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
But so did the bloggers, and so did the tweeters, and so did the televisioners and woofers. Yeah. And, you know, so there you go. If you were wondering what was going on with that, that's what was going on with that. Though we did get a nice thing. This happened a while back, but we didn't know. We got two nice mentions for our other podcast, Completely Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
Got one in Fast Company, which called us one of the definitive podcasts, meaning we're the definitive,
sure,
podcast on the Beatles.
We define defining.
Right. We, yeah, because what we do is we read dictionary definitions,
exactly,
before each of our podcasts.
Before everything we say.
Yeah, that's right. And make sure, and we'll give you all the options of what each of the words
that's
we say,
right,
means. It makes for a very long podcast.
Well, that was Completely Beatles.
That's right. That's why it was so long.
Yeah.
It was going all, and then, of course, we do a glossary at the end.
That's right.
Then we revisit the terms.
Yeah.
Ugh, crazy. So there was there. And then there was another, there was a British paper, which you were familiar with, that I was not familiar with.
Which, the NME.
What does that stand
for?
The
New Musical Express.
Okay.
Which I never, you knew it was called that But it was always the enemy. That was what it said on the cover.
Because they wanted to be the enemy of people.
They wanted to be the enemy, yeah. And I loved that newspaper. When I was a teenager, I would regularly head down to Odyssey Imports and buy it there. I think it cost $2.50.
Oh, wow. That was a lot of money back then.
That was a lot of money,
then.
Yeah.
You know how much that was back then? That was $2.50 back
then. That was $2.50. That was basically half of a McDonald's meal.
Back then?
Yeah.
You're saying a McDonald's meal in the 80s was $5?
$4.
All right. Yeah. I'll have to do research.
I
on
know
that
because if I didn't eat McDonald's, I could get another record if I was in Vancouver
and
on Saturday.
Did you not eat McDonald's?
I would not eat lunch. I would save my money to buy another record.
And then you'd listen to that music with your stomach growling and you would not be able to hear.
Yes. I would take the record and put it onto my record Walkman, which there was one at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was greatly fascinated by it. But even at the time, I thought, that doesn't have a lot of practical applications. Like, basically, you could take it to the library.
Yeah.
And while you're reading in the library, you could put it down beside you.
Right.
Because what it was...
And the library where they have record players.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you could take it anywhere there was already a record player.
Yeah.
Put it next to the original record player, and it would be a second record player.
Exactly. Well, what it was, basically, was just a kind of like a long U. And you opened it up and you put the record onto a needle or to like the little, what would you call that? Not a needle, because that's what plays the record, but mm-hmm. the little pin that the record yeah. goes on. And then you would close it. And then inside there was a needle that tracked along the records. It would stay in place, but it would move with the groove inside the record.
Oh, okay.
And so then you would plug your headphones into it and start it and listen while it sat there. But you couldn't walk with it because, of course, the needle couldn't track. It would be flying all over the place.
You couldn't move an inch.
And I don't know if you could maybe take it in the car with you, with your parents.
I'm just picturing someone jogging with it.
And could you imagine?
It's just constant.
Yeah. It was bad enough with like a Discman. Because that would, if you were trying to jog with a Discman, it would stop playing
as well.
And then
as he runs, the modern DJ goes, wait a minute, that gives me an idea.
That's right, yeah.
And all of a sudden he gets two of them and then he becomes a big star.
That's the modern DJ. The old-fashioned DJ is like, this is garbage.
Well, that's why you had a band called Run DMC, Dave. It's because they originally found this out because they were originally a running group together. Yeah. They didn't do music.
No.
They just like going out for like long runs.
Sure.
And then well, I got this disc record player. Oh, let's listen to that together. Hey, I think that gives me an idea. And then they became a very famous band.
But even like, if you can imagine like sitting in the car with your family
mm-hmm.
and you decide you're going to listen to your record man.
Right.
And then you're sitting there, how often would your brothers or sisters put their finger and stop it from turning? About 400 times during this car journey. Would you estimate that?
Wow,
about 400 times?
Okay, I don't know. Depends
just enough time so your dad turns around and tries to swat at you or,
right.
I'm turning this car around. That's it, burp, whatever kind of.
You know, here's the thing. If, you know, back in the days when dad could like just throw his fist back in the car and smack you around, like that was never safe for driving.
No.
To have dad do that.
No, that's why mom took over the wheel.
Oh, okay. Well, here's what I was thinking from back then. It's like, why not have the seats electrified? So when the kids are lipping off, you hit a little button, zappy, zappy. Now, it sounds cruel.
I have a better
idea. But it's much safer.
I have a better idea.
What's that?
A boxing glove on a little extender that comes out and punches you.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. It makes a sound.
What does it sound?
Like, woo, woo, boom.
I like it.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Add the comedy effects to the punishment.
Oh, yeah. As long as you're, that's the thing. Like, back then, you could hit your children, but you'd have to do a funny sound effect when you did. You'd have to go, El Kabong, when you were doing it. Yeah, that's it. But then you could do anything abusive you want, and it'd be like hilarious cartoony violence. And they go, Your Honor, I swear this was cartoony violence.
That's right.
So this enemy, the New Music Express, they...
Musical?
They wrote, we were included in a list.
Once again, a list... A similar list. It was a list of shows
things to make your commute easier. Wasn't that it? I think it was like
No. It was another kind of like definitive.
Oh, okay.
Ones that were like covered something in one subject in great detail.
Oh, all right, very good.
Because both of them were inspired by Serial to look for other podcasts that fell into that kind of, you know, insane concentration.
Okay.
You know,
well, thank you, Serial. Then, so anyway, we got we got nice mentions in those.
That was being in the NME. I mean, that was like when I mean, you sent me the links because I'm internet
Here's what, here's competent. Dave, here's what you got to find out. It's a thing. It's called Google. And what you do is you put your whatever you want to search for.
Yeah, okay.
You put it in Google, and then I know what you're doing. You're hitting web. Or I'm feeling lucky.
Yeah.
No, Dave, that's not what you hit. You hit a button there called News, and what comes up is articles on that subject.
Yeah.
So you can see if you're wanted for, say, a murder or such.
I should check that out.
And then you can go on the lam.
I don't want people to know that. But yeah, it was very exciting that I was in the enemy, like, because that's, like I say, that was my, until I switched allegiance from enemy to Q magazine, that was my, enemy was my go-to.
Is Q still around?
I believe Q is still around. I've kind of jump-shipped from Q, because Q.
Where are you now? What ship are you on?
I'm on the good ship Mojo.
Okay, on good ship Mojo.
Mojo right. Magazine, which is the best music magazine.
Okay.
Bar none.
All right.
Like that
it's better than Bar None.
Way better than Bar None. And I like, I also like Uncut quite a bit, but I really like Mojo. Just because they'll do longer articles about sort of obscure things. Mm-hmm. Often they'll do very obscure things as well, things that we all know about. But sometimes they'll give you like a good 15-page article about Gene Vincent or something like that. And you're just like, I don't know anything about Gene Vincent, but I'm loving all this information that you're giving me.
The just say this about the Fast Company article. One, I have picked up that magazine a couple of times, and I'm always angry.
Yeah.
Because it's got something like a person that I really like on the cover.
Okay.
And I'll pick it up, and there'll be one page of that. And part of that page is a photo.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, I'm getting on an airplane. This is the only reason I'm picking up Fast Company. I need more than this.
Yeah.
If I can finish the magazine before we've taken off, boo to your magazine. But we do appreciate the mention. Though they said, and this was interesting, that we were British, you and I.
Well,
speaking with our, like, we've been called that, like, in a British paper, they thought we were American.
Yeah.
Well, you are half American.
Yes.
The right half. I could see how we could be
the
confused.
Right wing
with,
half.
Yeah, with being American.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to our voices right now.
Yeah.
British? Really?
I've been asked that.
You've been asked if you're British.
Yeah.
By
a person leaving.
Who is deaf. Legally deaf. And they're just reading your lips.
They may have been tipsy. No, they were leaving the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
This was quite a few years ago when I was. And the lady said, she says, are you from England? Because you sound like you have an accent. And I said, no, I'm educated.
And then you picked up your tea, raised your pinky, and she drove off.
I didn't actually say
that. It was quite. We're always the right, the wrong country. Let me just ask you something completely sidebar here, really fast.
Okay.
Have you been watching Better Call Saul?
I've watched 2 episodes of it.
Okay.
We have not had time to watch the other 2.
Okay. I won't say much about it, but there's a little parking lot violence from the guy who's working the parking booth. A little bit of that.
Don't like that.
And let me just say, it reminded me of you when I went, hey, there's Dave.
Oh, because would it be spoiling to say who is the parking lot attendant? It might be, so I don't want to say that. But
you know what? I think
people haven't seen it. Let's leave it alone.
Really? Okay, fair enough. All right. But anyway, the parking lot.
It's kind of a surprise when you first see it.
Sure enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just reminded me of you. And I'm like, oh, this guy's going to have it. Oh, he's getting the same stuff Dave used to when he was working the parking lot. Oh, he's had enough, and he's Daving it. There, we're good.
It was never about anger.
When you punched that guy.
No, that was self-defense. Oh, no, that was anger. That was a fellow employee, though. That was a totally different thing.
Okay.
That was a buildup over a year of bullshit from that person who deserved far worse than the slight tap on the chin that he got from me.
Okay.
But, and shortly after that, he was canned.
Wait, so the other violence that you did was not full of anger?
No.
So there were other incidents.
People were violent to me.
Oh, understood.
I was just the innocent bystander to their to their strange belief that because, you know, they can park for free in, you know, Surrey, that they should also be able to park for free in Vancouver. It doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. You know, the cost of land here is incredibly expensive.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't make money on that property, there's no purpose for them to have it as a parking lot. It's not a charity. So, you know, it's going to be a parking lot, or it's going to be condos, or it's going to be an office building.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your choices. So if you want places to park, you're going to have to pay for it.
Right.
And if you don't feel like paying, then take the SkyTrain in and pay there, because they have to pay to park. But yeah, it's just so people. And I have to say, I actually was thinking about this today when I was driving here. I was thinking about Lent. Because that's what time of the year it is.
By the way, and those of you who don't follow us regularly, Dave has given up sugar for Lent.
I've given up sugar for Lent. And I've also been trying to every day to pray.
Okay.
Just to sit and think for a while every day. problem with that is that you tend to think about yourself while you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the most pleasant subject for me to think about. So I was thinking about myself when I was driving today. And I was thinking that what a terrible stiff-necked, self-righteous jerk I am. And that's a good example of that part of my personality was working in the parking booths.
Mm-hmm.
As I would have customers come out.
By the way, you're not. But okay, continue.
I have that element to me.
Everyone has that element. But please okay. Continue.
And so, you know, customers would come out.
By the way, let me just say this.
Yeah.
There, we have a lot of listeners who have listened to many episodes of this as well.
Oh, sure.
And by the way, that jerkness
yes.
would have come out over this amount of time.
Yeah.
You can't,
so they all know.
You can't fake. No. You can't fake it for this amount of time. So if these folks out here don't think you're a jerk, and whenever you put yourself down, they all jump on it and go like, hey, knock that off. Stop
okay.
It.
I won't put myself down.
Yeah. You're insulting them because and their good judgment.
Well, that's the.
Why would they listen to the Jerk Cast? By the way, wait a minute. People do call this the Jerk Store. Maybe right. I'm wrong. The reviews are in.
The secret's out.
By the way, that is not a bad name for a podcast, The Jerk Store. We might want to think of changing our name to
we
that.
We might not, too. So, yeah.
You're
like
really a stiff neck about
when you work in a when you work in the parking lot, you know, you have rules that you're given that you have to enforce.
Uh-huh.
And it sucks a lot of the time because sometimes they're totally unfair.
Right, because your name isn't Peter Impark. You do not run the Impark, and you know what? I like the job so much,
yeah.
I'm working the booth. I love it. I love it so much, I'm working the booth.
Well, that's the thing. And the other problem is, of course, you just mentioned Impark, which is like is the biggest parking company here in Vancouver. This is where they started.
Right.
They basically made it their job to take over every place they could in Vancouver to manage it.
The biggest problem with Impark, by the way, is their mascot is named. What's the mascot's name?
Impy?
No, the mascot is named Parker Pete.
Oh.
And he looks like Peter Parker.
Oh.
So, hey, Marvel, get suing. Anyway, continue.
So the thing is, like, you work for Impark, which, of course, is this giant company, but all they do is manage the parking lot for a different giant company.
Mm.
They're not making the rules. They're having the rules given to them by the company. Like, the big company says to Impark, you know what, we're not making enough money from the parking lot.
Right.
And so then Impark says, well, how about we raise the half-hour rate by a dollar? And they go, sounds good. More money in our pocket sounds good to us. And while you're at it, instead of having 15 minutes grace, meaning before you have to pay money, you have 15 minutes, how about have no grace? So that when a minute turns, they have to pay for a whole other half an hour.
Okay.
How's that sound, everybody? You ready to enforce that in the parking lot and not get into arguments? Good luck. So, yeah, so it's things like that, like you have no control over, but it's your job, you know, and so you can't just like slack off and make up your own rules. Yeah, you know, I know yesterday was 15, today it's none. Too bad for you, sucker. I mean, what can you say, right? Like,
but
you
David,
put in this
how about for pretty ladies?
No.
Wait, I heard it depends.
No,
I heard a brief depends there.
I was going to joke. Mm-hmm. I was just going to make a stupid joke.
Okay, fair enough.
I changed my mind. and that's where I got suspended for telling a famous local broadcaster who now is a shill for a usurious loan shark company that it didn't matter who she was, that the rules applied to everyone. That's why I got suspended, because I was having to enforce that insane rule. But it could be other things too, like one time.
And as we know, by the way, local media in this town has a lot of weight behind it.
Yes, apparently.
Yeah.
Enough to get me suspended for a weekend.
And but not enough to be a category in a free newspaper.
Well, was there best
yes.
local broadcaster shilling
yes.
for usurious?
No, but just local broadcaster.
Okay.
But no.
Okay.
Eventually, everyone becomes a shill for something. Let's admit that much.
All right.
I can think of three right off the top of my head.
That we're shilling for?
No.
Right now?
No, local broadcasters that have an art.
You know, I don't mind if people shill, but I just feel like you shouldn't shill for a loan shark company.
I would agree with that.
Okay. Because basically, a company that is giving you second mortgages on your home.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's usury. Mm-hmm. That's like putting you in the biggest risk that you can be in
right.
your life.
That's so bad, I think the Bible said don't do it.
Yeah, that's right. Stop
that's
it.
How bad. You know all the financial rules the Bible has? No, they've got, one. This. It's
this
so
one.
Bad.
Don't take out a second mortgage.
God actually said, listen, guys, I don't usually talk this stuff, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and so on and so forth. But look, this one's not great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a thing. And like I know on the radio station that I like to listen to, the sports station, they have to do it between breaks.
Yeah.
And that's their job. But that's the thing. I mean, you know, they have a job and that's part of their job to read those ads. This person's being paid to be a spokesperson for it.
Yeah.
And I think that is.
It's disappointing.
Well, I wouldn't call it disappointing. I call it more evidence of their asshole.
I talked to like a friend of mine about, you know, who's in the real estate industry about reverse mortgages. And it's just, whoa,
yeah.
boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah.
If you can help it, I mean...
If it's a true reverse mortgage, at the end of it, your house owns you.
This is Russia?
Yeah, now it lives in... Yeah.
Yeah, it's just... it's terrible because, you know, I mean, we just renegotiated our loan, our mortgage.
Right.
And of course, it's painful to have to, you know, have mm-hmm. own money. But, you know, let's face it, it's better to own your home eventually than not. And but the idea of having equity in your home, so what they're doing is like, I mean, most people already have a mortgage on their home.
Yes.
So let's say they have a $200,000 mortgage on their home and their home is worth $500,000. Well, there's $300,000 there, in quotation marks, that you can get another loan on.
Well, this sounds great.
Yeah, this is perfect.
What could be the problem?
Well, I don't know. Maybe the fact that it's three times the money to pay for the interest.
What?
Is that okay?
Yeah, but I'm going to pay it off and it'll be fine. Yeah. You know what? I think the future is going to be better than the past. So you got it. Sign on the dotted. Dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-bum. Did I just hear thunderclap when I did that? Wait, is the tap running blood out of it right now? What's just happened? Is the dog walking backwards? What? Everything? Oh, damn it. I made a mistake.
I haven't been keeping up on my end of the deal, but when my daughter got a credit card, and I understood that she did need one because of the expenses and things that you need a credit card for.
Yeah, there's some things you do need a credit card for.
But I said to her, I want to see your statement every month, and I never want to see you owing money on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I know.
No, that's good advice.
I've walked down that path too. And once you get to a certain point on your credit card, there is no way to pay off the credit. Mm-hmm. It's basically designed so that you can't pay it off. You know, you're just paying the money you can afford to pay down on the credit card. It's only paying
the interest and not the day one in college, you were swarmed by credit card companies.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, buddy. And it's scummy. And there's and of course, you never, and maybe they do nowadays, but they sure didn't in my day. By the way, take a drink. I'm talking about the past. We never had any classes in here's how to manage credit. Here's how to balance a checkbook. Here's traps.
Yeah.
That obvious traps that people will try. You know, we're getting a lot of don't talk to strangers and don't get in that van. But by the way, how about now that we're in high school, once you go to college, a guy's going to come up to you and go, you need a credit card. And you're going to think, free money.
Yeah.
And because, like, listen, I'm investing in my future here. Well, I'm going to have money in the future. Why would this be a problem? Well, let's just tell you how interest works. And, you know, do a little bit of that. You know, maybe if math class had more of that practical stuff in it, which, again, you are learning math when you're doing that.
Yeah.
You're actually learning math that you can fucking use. Maybe more people be interested in math.
I think there is an element of that now in their kind of counseling class.
Yeah.
Section of
or home economics. It would be a good part of that.
Good thing to know.
Absolutely.
Because,
by the way, a siren is going by. I know you just took a drink because we got nostalgic, but please make it a double.
Make it a double.
There you go. And then, you know what, folks? We're not encouraging you to drink alcohol this whole time. You can have a double water. Go, do whatever you want.
That sounds thrilling.
Dave is drinking water because he is a teetotaler and is off the sugar.
The sugar. Oh, my God. I'm so regretting
And during Lent, he is only drinking holy water.
That's true. I'm having my priest bless it every week.
Yep.
And a certain supply of it anyway.
Yeah. What do you call it when you unbless something? Do you deconsecrate or?
Deconsecrate. That would be a good word.
So his priest has to come whenever he takes a leak as well and deconsecrates it as it comes out.
Deconsecrates the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's a holy toilet.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's just trouble. You don't want to flush holy water down a toilet. That's completely disrespectful. I'm sure that's some sort of blasphemy.
That's right. It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Boy, we went a long way around. So I just wanted to tell this
have
one
story.
Have you
ever seen this show before or listened to it?
I just want to tell this one parking lot story.
This is how we do it. Okay, please.
One parking lot story. I have a lot of parking lot stories, but I'll tell one story.
That's our new podcast.
A lot
of parking lot.
If you go to a parking lot, if you go there in the evening, say 6 o'clock, from 6 till whenever, there's usually a flat rate.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's $4, a $4 flat rate.
Sounds good.
Now, at this parking lot, every half hour before that time is $2.50. So if you got there at 10 to 6, you pay $2.50 for the time before mm-hmm. 6, and then you pay your $4. So it's $6.50.
Well, that sounds reasonable. I can't see how to have any problem with that.
And to make it more reasonable, I used to give people 5 minutes. I wasn't supposed to, but I would just give them 5 minutes grace. So if you got there at 5:55,
yeah,
it was $4.
Oh, gosh darn it. That sounds fantastic.
The company never said anything, and why would I bring it up?
Why would you? You know what? Back in the 80s, you couldn't get a McDonald's meal for that amount of money.
Not even that. So there's one day this man comes out. He got a human at 10:02,
mm-hmm.
and it was $6.50. And he said, well, it's the evening rate is $4. So I explained to him what I just explained to you. And he said, no, I don't want to pay $6.50. I'm only going to pay $4. And so he gave me $4. So I took the money And I threw it back at him. And I said, no, it's 6:50. I want 6:50. So then I turned away and I started reading my book. And he sat there and he sat there. And finally, after a little while, he gave up. He paid me 6:50. And he was so mad, he tried to like zoom off to show how cool he was. Mm-hmm. But he lost control of his car and went diagonally into the curb and blew his tire.
Mm.
So then he had to walk back over to the booth.
Yes.
And ask me to borrow the phone.
And did you say yes?
Of course.
You're a good Christian man.
Of course I am.
That's right.
But I couldn't understand what the, like, why make a fuss about that?
And you said to him, you can use the phone, but you have to talk in a funny voice.
Yes, that's right. No, there was no, I felt bad for him. Like, I didn't want him to, all I want to do is pay for his parking.
I'm sure you felt bad for him, but when you saw him blow out the tire, was there a little tee-hee-hee?
I was kind of smirking.
And then to, no, Dave.
Yeah.
No.
There was a little smirking. Yeah, another time this man got mad and he drove, instead of turning, he drove straight ahead and drove onto the curb in his Mercedes. Mm-hmm. And he bottomed out on this curb. And then he had to like pull forward and he pulled the curb out of alignment and then got over it. And so I was kind of smiling at this. So I came walking out of the booth and I had this big metal bar in my hand. And he came out of the car and he's like, are you smiling? Were you laughing at me? And I said, yeah, a little bit. And then I held at the metal bar and he got back in the car and he drove away. He had to drive out the wrong way up the ramp as well. But really, I had the bar just because I had to grab onto the curb and pull it back into place.
Yeah.
I wasn't carrying it to threaten him or anything. But once it looked like I was kind of getting into a situation, I just decided to hold it up so he could see I was carrying it.
Do you know what it makes it nice about living in Canada?
Yeah.
Less guns.
Yes.
It's like all of these scenarios that you're saying here would be like, if it was in the States and it was kind of gunny.
If it was in the States and if it wasn't, 25 years ago, Vancouver. When very few people lived here.
Yeah.
It was a lot different then.
I don't think it's, I still don't think it's, we have a lot of gun related. Like when
there's
that happened, like maybe
there's
twice
more.
A year there'd be like something like that. It's unusual enough that people are, like I remember like about 8 years ago, there was like a drive-by shooting about a block from here.
Mm-hmm.
And then people went, well, here's the start of it.
Yeah.
And that was the end of it. It was both. It was both the start and the end.
I guess I'm sort of putting the whole region into that because I'm not just thinking Vancouver. I'm thinking of other areas of BC,
sure.
Of Vancouver, the Lower Mainland, where there's
sure.
lots of drug-related killings and stuff like that.
Almost any time this kind of thing happens, it's always like, well, what's the situation?
What's the
well, this person owes
no
some money for
police.
What? I mean, even our, Steve Fonio 2, Terry Fox 2, who's Steve Fonio, he had like, I hope he's still alive. I think he is. He's thinking he's fine. But he was like home invaded and all this stuff. And you go like, oh, that's so, it's drugs, right? Yeah, okay, it's drugs. We all clearly know what this is.
Yeah.
This isn't just bored teenagers, going after 80s celebrities. Because watch out, Mike Reno.
You're in trouble.
You're next, buddy.
You and your leather pants are going down.
That's right. They are working for the weekend.
So we talked about something which was don't get into vans. And that brought up a story that you wanted to talk a little bit about.
I did?
Well, I'm wearing Vans. I bought some new sneakers. This happened to me when I was
going to college. Former guest on the show, Branwyn Bigglestone, if she's listening. She just perked up for that brief period
that's
of
right.
time where we were talking about shoes, and now back to this bullshit. Yeah.
She doesn't listen to the show anymore.
That's good for her.
That's fine.
I respect anyone that doesn't listen to this show. I've heard it's a real jerk story.
It's a real jerk story. And speaking of jerk stories, so, which could have been a jerk story, but anyway, I went to went to get my driver's license.
Okay, wait a second. Mm-hmm. So this is a story you're saying that I wanted to talk about, but it's your story?
I just mentioned a little bit and you said, let's talk about it on the show.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Okay. So I'll tell you the story.
Tell me a story, Dave. Oh, by the way, everybody, once again, this is Dave's story time.
Yeah.
So everyone gather around whatever your podcast device is.
Please do.
Sit cross-legged if you can. Get a mug of hot chocolate. Sure. It's time for story time and begin.
If you're sitting cross-legged, please sit cross-legged with your pants off.
What?
I don't know. This is a good visual.
This is why
it's a good visual.
This is why
for
they
me.
Kicked you out of Cub Scouts.
It makes me more relaxed. They always say to picture people in their underwear when you're doing public speaking, right?
Right, because you feel more comfortable with an erection. And then you're always thinking about, oh no, my erection. And then you don't think about your speech.
I feel more
and
powerful.
And takes your focus off. That's right.
I hope this dais is tall.
Which is why every male TED Talk speaker always has a boner. If you look very carefully. Right. That's
which you shouldn't. Fortunately, most of us watch it streaming, so we can't see me anyway.
Slang
it's all blurry.
Term, yeah. Slang term, by the way, in Canada for an erection is a TED.
Is a TED, yes.
And that's why they call it a TED.
Yeah, okay. A streaming TED. So
Please deconsecrate that.
Please deconsecrate that.
You were talking about you're going to get a driver's license.
This is before I got a driver's license. I was going to renew my learner's.
Oh, very good. So this is way in the past.
I was in college, so I was a little bit of a late starter at this whole driving thing. And so my wife, then girlfriend, Lisa, she had dropped me off but she couldn't give me a ride back to school. So I had to make my way back by the bus. So I was standing at the bus stop, and this guy stopped in a van, like a work van, and said, "Do you need a ride?" And I said, "Sure, well, I'm just going down the hill, if you wouldn't mind giving me a ride." He said, "Sure." So I got in the van, and we're driving along, and chit-chat a little bit, talking this and that. He said, I don't know how he thought he could wedge this in, but he goes, "I'm bisexual." Oh, first he said, "I noticed your fly is open." And I was like, oh, because it was. So I zipped up my fly. And then a beat later, he goes, "I'm bisexual." And I said, "I'm not." And I said, "That's fine." He goes, "I have a wife and kids." I said, "Oh, it's good to know, but nothing's going to." So let me out.
They're very lucky.
He let me out. So I made a joke. I said, of course, we all know that the lowered fly is a symbol for you know, being available for sex. So apparently that's why he picked me up, right? He saw me side of the road.
And so
my fly was undone.
And you think that was the reason?
He stopped.
Okay.
Picked me up, told me my fly was down.
Right.
I zipped it up, which should have been a symbol to him that all bets were off, right? That's a signal.
Is it?
It's going no farther.
All right.
All I did was lure you to stop so I can get a free ride.
Yeah, it's a honey trap.
Exactly. But no, he went farther. He told me he was bisexual. They had a wife and kids. So he was bisexual.
Right.
I mentioned that I wasn't.
Yeah, we're two open-minded guys who like the ladies. So I just picked you up in my van.
How about we go into the back of my van?
And van it up.
Yeah.
Now, do you think, okay, let me ask you two
Fortunately, he let me out.
Right, I got two questions.
That's a good part of the story.
Two questions.
We didn't go
to
a dangerous place.
What year is this?
86, maybe?
Oh, that sounds like a real safe time to be experimenting with that kind of stuff with guys in the van. Okay, so.
He had a wife and kids.
Yeah. Okay, so, no, I don't, first of all, I don't doubt that that's the case.
Sure.
But she needs to get tested. Okay, so.
It's all in the past now.
Now, do you think, I want to ask the straighter question in a second, which is, I'll just ask that one first. Do you think that he really did pick that up as a signal?
No.
Okay, that wasn't.
I'm just joking. How could he see it? He's driving down the road.
Understood.
Unless he's had eagle eyes. I don't know. He must have had super 20/20 or 25/25 right. Vision or something.
I do kind of remember around that era. That was the era of fellas coming up to you and just going, "Hey, do you need a ride?" And that seemed to be the move.
Okay.
It was like, "Do you need a ride?" If you need a ride, accepting a ride is the thing.
I didn't get that. See, I should have known that, right? I should have known.
Though when it's
a guy stops in his van, it's full of like electrical equipment.
So do you think it was for a quick encounter, or was this a murder van?
I mean, it might have been. Like, it was full of electrical equipment, like, you know, pliers and things like
that. And tape and but things that...
He didn't look like a murderer type.
No.
He kind of looked like...
that nice Ted Bundy
guy. Do you know the movie The Thing?
Which
the Kurt
one?
Russell one?
Yes.
And there's a guy in it, and he's kind of a heavy-faced guy, and he has kind of reddish, blondish, curly hair.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he looked like.
Yeah, murder van. Yeah.
You think so?
I don't know.
I escaped with my life?
Could be. Listen, it's just not a good idea to get in... Look. Well, I know we tell
we
kids don't
that.
Get into a back of a van.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say to adult men also, do not get into the back of a van.
But he had candy.
Oh, I didn't know he had candy.
Yeah,
well, that's
exactly.
Fine then. Why can you eat candy in the front of the van? Why do you need to get in the back of the van?
I didn't get in the
van?
Back of the van. I was sitting right beside him.
I know, but he wanted you probably to get in the back of the van. Like, you weren't going to do stuff in the front of the van, right?
I don't
if
know.
If you got a van,
we didn't
what
go
the
that
hell
far.
Are you going to do?
I didn't like
You're not going to go in the back of the van?
I didn't have to get any kind of specifics to make
that's
my decision.
That's gross. You're in the front of the van.
My decision was no.
Okay.
Could go no farther.
All right.
An attractive, dumpy person.
Here's my story of that sort of thing. And
okay.
I've told you this story before, but...
Have you told our listeners that?
Maybe, but we may have new listeners. So I'm around that same age, mm-hmm. college age, and there was a kind of... Sometimes people would hang around the college who I'm going to call creeps. Okay.
Yes.
So at one point, a guy... Like, I'm looking at something in a window or whatever, and a guy comes up to me and says, "Hey... You like the boys?" I'm like, what? And I actually thought he meant like a band because it was like records, right? Like
sure.
The Beach Boys or something. I'm just like, what? Do you like the boys? I'm like, oh, no, I don't. Ah, you like the girls, huh? I like the girls. Okay, here's what you do.
Isn't that funny that you're so undecided at that moment? Like, you don't want to quite commit yourself?
Well, I also
pretty
don't,
sure, like, girls.
Well, it's also, what's it to you, buddy? You know, no, I'm not telling, I don't want to tell.
It's still give him a straight answer.
Yeah, why's it up to you? I'm not going to, like, be like, oh, no, I ain't one for no fellas. You know, I said, I don't care. Yeah. You know, if you think I like the guy. So I'm like, no, I like the girls.
Fair enough.
And he goes, okay, here's what you do. You go, you be with the boys, you make the money, and then you spend it on the girls.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what...
That's where girls like you to get your money from.
Absolutely. Because that's what all male prostitution is based around. It's guys trying to buy their best gal something pretty. And so you just got to do a little of the old doobity-boobity-boo. But you know what? The ladies got that Valentine, the candy, and the flowers for Valentine's Day.
Well, as long as that something pretty is meth, that's exactly how it works.
Yeah. So that was my, you know, but then afterwards, you know, I was like, I am kind of broke. No, but every so often in your head, it would go like, I don't know how much money. No, of course not. This would be a terrible idea. No, sir. No,
really?
Thank you.
So you kind of thought it.
Well, you wonder how much you have to do, right? Yeah. You know, and it was like, look, at the time I was doing a job where I had to literally clean shit out of toilets. So it's like, where am I at?
Yeah.
And for very little money.
Yeah.
And anytime the boss went, the toilet flooded.
Yeah.
Go clean up. And it was a movie theater, right? Go clean up, Theater 7, the toilets again. And you got to go there and you got to put on the big gloves.
When you work in New York.
And you got to go, oh boy. It was, it was a theater that had 7 theaters, right?
Yeah.
So you got to clean a lot of theaters.
7 bathrooms.
And there was a lot of, there's a lot of gross, demeaning stuff that you got to do. And like, well, what's one fluid over another? You know, am I putting on my high hat? And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I will not be doing that today. Anyway, I've got some feces to remove from the wall. Good day, sir. You know, and slightly earlier, you know, my roommate was working at a fair, and his job, a lot of it was cleaning blood off a wall because people would try to get over this barbed wire razor fence.
And
he'd be cleaning blood off a wall. So like, okay, what job's better there? You know, of those two. And clearly that job is better. Let's just say one job leads you towards not so good, and one job you can put behind you and move on with your life.
That's why I lucked out with my low income job.
Yeah. So anyway, did you tell your girlfriend about that later on? And went like, hey,
Lisa,
guess who?
Yes, I did.
Hey, guess who's handsome?
That's what I said, exactly. So guess who's good looking to men in white vans?
That's right.
Me.
Don't worry about it. If we ever run out of gas money, I can go anywhere I want.
I can take us all the way to my own private Idaho.
Now, here's my question about that. Uh-huh. And again, hi, folks. Sorry about this conversation. Now, because again, a couple of times there have been the approaches
the title card.
Where are you going to? Well, Sneaky Dragon on the side of a van, clearly. where are you going to? It's like, I'm going to ba-ba-da-ba, wherever you were going to. Now, if you get involved in shenanigans, you pull off to somewhere. Do you still get the ride? Like afterwards, or is it embarrassing for both of you? Ugh, big rolled eye. I'm just going to let you off here.
You get the ride.
You get the ride in silence to that where you're not making eye contact. Yeah. You know, he's thinking about his wife and kids. He's going on a shame spiral. You know, you're going, oh Lord, what have I done? And, but then you did get to where you were going maybe 15 minutes faster than you would have if you just walked and maintained your
distance. The detour burned up the 15 minutes. So forget about it.
Yeah. Anyway.
And saved me a dollar.
Let's just say nowadays, the internet has made this all a lot easier and probably has eliminated the need for vans.
Yeah.
You know?
That's unfortunate.
I don't think it's unfortunate at
all. No one's getting humiliating or not humiliating, embarrassing rides, awkward rides down the street.
Yeah.
Because it was awkward. Once I said no, I mean, what more is there to say?
Do you still get the ride?
I still get the ride.
What did you guys talk about for this
Nothing.
Thing?
What can you say, right? How about them Canucks?
So how long have you been married?
Yeah.
How
many kids do you have?
What do your kids do?
Can I tell if the story is real or not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I saw your license plate number, so clearly you can't let me live, right?
That's
because I could just destroy your life in a heartbeat, right? Like, clearly I am the witness to this, and I could just bring you down hard, right? Yeah. Well, so that's a, you've got it. You've got to clearly murder me after this, right? Okay.
What alias do you use when you write to the papers? You can tell me now, because I have nothing I can say about it.
Yeah. Anyway, that was the 80s.
Man.
But once again.
He was the horoscope killer.
Let me just say, a McDonald's meal under $5, which I still think it is.
I know it's not.
It isn't?
No.
Okay, you can't get a double cheeseburger. You can't get a small drink. Listen, the drink.
I'm talking a real
during
meal.
The
not
summer,
a, not
during
a
the
jerk.
Summertime,
yeah.
Your drinks cost nothing. Bupkis.
It's a dollar.
A dollar. Yeah. And then your double cheeseburger is what? Like, that's your less than $2.
Well,
you're telling me a fries. You're telling me a fries is more than $2.
Yeah.
You eat that, you say you're not full?
I don't want that. It sucks.
What are you
going
to have? You going to have a Big Mac?
Yeah.
All right.
So it's about $7, right?
Dave, you know how many tricks you have to turn to get that Big Mac?
Yes, I do.
You have to do a thing we call the Big Mac.
That's right.
You know what? Maybe it's for the best that we didn't get nominated for anything this time around.
No, it's not.
Right, you were, West Ender.
This is the best show on the internet.
Is it?
No.
Okay. I like that Drunk Kitchen one. That's good, too. Let's include that in the mix.
The what?
It's a girl. She gets drunk and she cooks. It's pretty funny.
It's a podcast?
It's actually a video.
Well,
a video
podcast. That's different.
Video podcast.
That's different.
Video podcasts are legitimate podcasts.
But it's not the same as what we are doing.
Oh,
we're a more elevated art form than that. This is theater of the mind.
Fair enough.
Theater of the mind.
Now, Dave, you had a birthday this week.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah? Did you have a nice birthday?
I had a great birthday.
Good. What'd you get? Sorry, it's not all about the gifts.
Well, I got the sweater that I'm wearing.
All right, now let me describe the sweater.
Sure.
It is a sweater.
Yes, it is. It has elbow patches, though.
Oh, la la.
Making it pipe worthy.
Nice.
If one wanted to smoke a pipe, why you'd want to, I don't know. But if you did want to, this is the perfect sweater.
You know what? I would like
to engage in said activity.
I would like going to gyms more if people wore sweaters with elbow patches.
You would go to the gym more.
I would like
that. Would be
like
the smelliest gym.
Nah, it's always smelly anyway.
It is pretty smelly.
Stinks pretty awful. But at least people would be better dressed, and that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
It'd be great if there's a pipe that actually gave you more oxygen. Like you did not smoke tobacco, but it was a filter that like just gave you like oxygen. So you had all these people on a treadmill wearing sweaters with patches, and they're smoking pipes and just going on the treadmill. Fantastic.
They all had horn-rimmed glasses that had individual TV shows playing inside them.
Love it.
Love
everything about it. I would picture them with books myself. Okay. Just a book in front of them, one hand, smoking a pipe with the other hand.
That's what I do at the gym, but I use an e-reader.
Oh,
so.
God, a nice sensible gym like that.
Easy E for easy reader.
Mm-hmm.
And then my daughter, my oldest daughter, Millis gave me a book. Gave me Seconds, the book by that guy.
Brian.
Lee O'Malley.
O'Malley,
that's
yes.
right. Which is, it's a good book.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. Enjoyed it.
There's a couple of good stunty drawing pages in there.
There
you go,
fun.
Like, what a good stunt that was you just did. You certainly drew that side of the building with it. Cut it. Good. No one can say you didn't put in the effort.
I like
well
that
done,
and,
you.
And I kind of like the descent into hideousness of the story. That's good. And then that's about it.
Okay. Let me recommend a book,
by the
way,
I got some money from my mom.
Oh, nice. There's also a graphic novel out, Lucy Knisley. Knisley?
Sure.
She did French Milk.
Yeah.
She did Relish.
Mm-hmm.
She's got one, The Age of License, which
yes.
is another one of her travel books
okay.
that I quite enjoyed.
Good.
And
I was with you when you purchased it.
And tonight, if you'd like, I would lend it to you. It depends if you want to borrow it or
oh,
not.
Oh, I'd love it.
Very
love
good,
it.
Then. We will make this all happen.
I think it'll happen.
Deal's a deal, sir. Did you have cake?
I had cake the night before. I kind of went off my Lent.
But you found a loophole.
There is a loophole in the traditionally Lenten fasting is only on weekdays, and the weekend is considered to be not part of Lent. So the 40 days does not actually include weekends.
Because if it did, how long would that be?
40 days with weekends in it. Well, 4 and 8. So I guess would that be 16? So 56 days total around there? Is that
really? That seems a lot. Is that right?
Well, because it would be 40 days and then there's...
I don't think that's... I think that's too many.
There'd be 8 weeks, basically, right?
Let's just say you're putting in some bonus days there.
Because 40 divided by 5 is 8. So I'm just thinking it'd be 8 weekends.
Right.
Approximately 8 weekends. Maybe not exactly because
you know,
take
if
off
we
the...
had listened carefully to Schoolhouse Rock,
we would know all this.
Kind of now, here's what I would like. It's like... And I think this would be an incredibly popular book,
mm-hmm.
Dave. I want to make you some money here right now. This is my birthday gift to you.
Okay.
Now, you have read the Bible.
I've read the Bible.
Okay. How many times would you say you've read the Bible?
Oh, just once.
Just once.
Couldn't put it down. It's not that great.
All right. Fair enough.
I've read the New Testament more than once, but the Old Testament.
Nice.
It's a bit of a slog.
Here's what I think you should put together. A book of loopholes in the Bible.
Is that right?
Yeah, because this is a great loophole. It's just like
I think it's generally known. It was my own.
No, I didn't know about it, and I went to so much Catholic school I can't even tell you. And I went to catechism and all nonsense. Yeah. Like if someone had said, because I did the extra days, right?
Yeah.
Like if someone had said to me, "Hey, buddy, here's a loophole in Lent. Do you want to find out about it?" Yeah. Where is that? It's in this book. I will buy that book. If there's loopholes in all the different things, like loopholes in this commandment, loopholes in this, loopholes in money lending, loopholes in blah, blah, blah. I think if you had all the different categories and then the loophole, man, people would buy that in a heartbeat. Yes, sir. Loopholes to premarital sex.
Well, we were only going to do it the one weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have to stretch it out to next weekend because we're going over to a friend's house for a post-birthday celebration.
Oh, okay.
With David M., former guest of the show.
Hello.
And yes, and I have to thank David when I'm there for his Oscar answers, which made me look so impressive on Sunday night.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Those were all his answers. I was going to say that, but near the end of the night, his predictions went way off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
Because Birdman, I think, kind of threw everyone for a loop at how popular it was as an Oscar sort of kind of came up the middle.
Right.
Because Boyhood had kind of gotten a few nods. And
it's a weird one now that you got 10 categories. I think you're going to get some weirdos.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked Birdman. But
I haven't seen it, so I'd like to.
Well, we have it at our apartment if you want to see it.
It's not a van thing, is it?
What's that?
It's
a van. Mm, no. Yeah, please come to the van. Yeah, so I think because there's 10, I think the voting will be a little different.
Yeah.
I think you will get some strange ones maybe in there.
From what David had predicted, and his predictions were very accurate. Like, I was blowing everyone's minds. And the ones that I got wrong were ones I forgot the answer to, that I couldn't remember what he had told me. Because he just told me at night, I just said, "What are your predictions?" And he just gave me his predictions. And I was like, "So I'm going to use these tomorrow, just so you know." So I didn't do it without him knowing. And I didn't want to do it without admitting that I was doing it. But at the end of the night, I got the horrible flu feeling. So I pretty much left right away as soon as I could.
Okay, yeah. I was wondering if you had that through the whole thing. You
were no, just near the end. I just suddenly started feeling like
guilty about not giving him credit.
That's right, and I just that kind of red, the face flush you get when you feel that kind of
right.
Ooh, things are
well. I know your wife had the flu as well.
Mm-hmm.
Was she still fluish then?
No, she was fine. Mine wasn't as bad as hers. Hers lasted about 3 days. Mine was a really bad one day.
Okay.
In a bit.
You took care of it.
Yeah, I just slept all Monday.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
I slept for 24 hours.
Well, you know why that was? Because we all sent out the good vibes last week.
That's right. It certainly worked well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Karma.
Excuse me. I've got a sneeze.
Sure, go ahead.
One more time.
But I was going
first time I ever sneezed on this podcast, by the way.
So David,
and it was talking about being sick.
There you go.
Just the talk about
you have sneezed before, by the way.
The psychosomatic. Okay. No, I think I've coughed horribly on the podcast, but I don't think I've ever sneezed.
Having an allergic reaction to the show.
By the way, as a kid, that always used to bother me, where I'd never seen anyone on TV sneeze.
That's true. Or newscasters. You never see
a newcaster sneeze. You would think in all of this, especially the reporters who are out there, and I'm in the dust storm of blah, 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 blah. You think clearly they're going to sneeze.
Yeah.
But never. And never, ever in a movie, unless the person's going to die.
Well, I wonder if sneezing comes if you're not really concentrating on what you're doing, if you're just kind of.
Do you think I'm slacking off right now?
Pretty much. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I was listening to your story, so maybe I was relaxing a bit. Dave's going to go on a bit more about his flu.
No, I'm not going to talk about the flu. I was just going to talk more about David's predictions, which were very accurate. I think you'd agree. Like, I was blowing everyone's minds by how accurate.
That guy should have a movie podcast, let me just say.
He should. But then when we got to Birdman and that movie. The theory of everything.
Theory of everything. Yeah.
Now, see that I don't know why he predicted Michael Keaton as getting best actor.
I would have thought so too.
Yeah.
I would have thought so too.
That's ignoring the affliction vote, right? Which always goes to the person who plays a character who is suffering.
But people know that the affliction vote is a thing, so I think sometimes they might vote for the other thing.
Yeah, it doesn't change it because people. That's why it's a thing because people vote for. They just think it's hard to play an affliction.
Well, I mean, one of the nice things, here's the thing. Here's why I think the Holocaust and the handicapped thing works.
Yeah.
Okay. So you watch your Holocaust movie.
Yeah.
And it's really sad. And the person dies at the end and you feel terrible. And you're like, oh my God, that poor person.
Mm-hmm.
Or the person is handicapped and they're getting more and more handicapped. So handicapped. Very handicapped. They're not very, things aren't great. They're so handicapped.
He's painting with his foot.
That's right. And the credits roll and you're in tears and you're just like, oh my God, I wish I could just see them happy. I just want to see them happy. Hey, how can I make them happy? Maybe voting for an Academy Award. And now that person who you saw at the Holocaust is in a pretty dress.
Yeah.
And they're up there and they're happy.
Yeah.
And they're good. And now you feel that's the last thing you remember. Ah, I feel so much better.
Sure.
And look at that person. They're out of the wheelchair. They're walking up. They're dancing. Yeah. Everything's great. I feel good. So there you go. Michael Keaton, you feel, he's fine. He'll be all right.
Well, I think it would have, I mean, I do wish he'd won because I think, you know, I think he should have won not just for that film, but for kind of a body of work kind of thing. Kind of like saying, you've done some really good stuff over the years.
Right, Night Shift.
And here, Night Shift is good.
I know it is. I was just throwing that out there.
Night Shift is good. And I love that he did a kind of a little bit of a Beetlejuice impersonation at the end of the,
mm-hmm.
when he went to do a speech. And he's kind
I
of
ain't
like,
gonna lie.
I ain't gonna lie. This is, you know, I'm loving this. It's great up here. But, you know, so it is, yeah. It's
it like Michael Keaton showed up.
Yeah.
Yay, there's Michael Keaton. Well, I like the whole thing. He's chewing gum.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you chewing gum for, Michael?
Well,
Keaton?
Someone said a good thing, which was, or a probable thing, which is that he's a smoker.
Oh.
And so he was probably does that
maybe
too.
Maybe nicotine gum as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it must be tough for smokers. I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
That long, stressful period, and you can't smoke?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is rough.
Because, mm-hmm. Well, like Patricia Arquette is obviously a smoker. You can see she's got those kind of pushed-in smoker's teeth that people get from, you know, sucking on the cigarette. Keira Knightley as well has those sort of teeth as well from smoking.
Wow, you're really hip to the dental work.
Well, I just noticed that. I would think, oh, they must smoke. That's what I think when I see that.
Okay.
Because it's unusual for people to get teeth that go that way in.
Well, that was an interesting thing when we were watching Saturday Night Live's 40th anniversary. They had Jane Curtin on.
Mm-hmm.
And Jane Curtin has what you call normal people teeth.
Yeah.
And normal people teeth for people her age.
Yeah.
And that is very brown.
Yes.
And when you just see them next to, like, you know, movie star teeth, and like, whoa. But it's like, no, that's right.
Yeah.
That's what your teeth look like
shouldn't
in that
be judging
era.
Judging someone on this?
No, this is absolutely fine,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
She's fine. And she's still jerks. Funny and everything's good. But, like, it is, like, jarring to just go, oh, that's normal.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's what my teeth look like. Oh, my God. So, yeah, and then with Birdman doing so well, like, I think that was a real case of a film that Hollywood loves, a movie that loves Hollywood. You know, and that's a movie that's about actors, and it's about, you know, transformation and this sort of, you know, this guy who needs to be, you know, not thinking of the word here, but, you know, reborn, this sort of rebirth story, you know.
And again, you haven't seen this film.
I haven't seen the film.
All right.
So I'm just kind of basing on what
so
I know
of
it.
So I can't get into specifics. Okay.
Please don't get into specifics. But I just feel like it's one of those kind of films where Hollywood feels like, yes, you understand us. You know how hard it is to be an actor and how we struggle to be true to ourselves as artists. And, you know, and so is that wrong? It's not that at all. It's actually stick in the face of a poke in the eye of actors everywhere.
Do you know what it is? It's like it's got one stunt behind it that's amazing, which is, you know, it's pretty much one solid shot. Like you never break. You just like – you never break to like cut to anything.
Okay.
It's like, you know – and there's tricks obviously.
Yeah.
But it's one shot.
It's and rope. Then, and it's a film rope.
It's basically rope. Yeah, yeah, they're doing a rope. So like that gets you already – whoa, that's a pretty impressive stunt.
Yeah.
And then a lot of like faces, a lot of like cut into faces and expressions. And because you never get a break as a, to just relax and go, ah, now I can go to the bathroom. There's never a moment in the film where you're like, now I can relax. You're just like, you're tense through the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
And it keeps doing things to you that you're like, wait, what did I just see? Is that, no, does that mean that this, wait, is this all just a, no, that's a this. And then every so often, the actors will do something that you'll just go, motherfucker, that's good acting. Like they'll just do an acting trick, a stunt, like the equivalent of a singer, you know, just hitting a high note that no one else can hit. And there's what's his name? Is it Ed Norton?
Who's in it? Yes, Ed Norton.
Yeah, which always bugs me because it's the Honeymooner's name. And it's like, you can't do that, right? You couldn't have an actor called Ralph Cramden and we take him seriously, right?
Why not?
But anyway.
Well, because he'd have to be Ralph J. Cramden.
Yeah.
Because there already is a Ralph Cramden in the...
fair
and the actor
enough.
Or whatever it's called.
But Ed Norton does a trick like where he kind of turns the acting on and off like early on, like a light switch, and even does the pretty good. That's pretty good acting, huh? And you gotta go, that was really good acting. Oh shit. That's how acting works. Oh my God. That's the difference between you know
what you're describing to me makes me think why Hollywood liked this film as much as it did.
Well first of all,
because Boyhood is a stunt film as well.
Right. That's the thing. Here's the thing with those kind of things. You take a big risk. That's something that Hollywood likes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you actually let the people in it be the best that they can be at the thing they're doing. And I think that's a big thing. And Michael Keaton
I think Boyhood does that as well. Only Boyhood handcuffs its actors.
Right, but I mean, I don't think they use all the tools in the toolbox. Like, you know, Rosanna Arquette in there, she's
Patricia.
Good. Patricia Arquette. Yeah. She's good. She's really good. Like, everyone in it is really, really good. But they're really good, but they're serving the stunt of what it is, yeah. You know? Whereas in this, you're really letting Michael Keaton go full Michael Keaton. You're letting him, like, what can he do? He can do this, 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 and this. Fantastic. Let's do it all.
Yeah.
All right, what can Ed Norton do? Well, you know, we like him when he takes his shirt off. Why doesn't he take his pants off, too? Why doesn't he be kind of creepy? Why doesn't he do this as well? Okay. What does Emma Watson do? Well, she can do a lot of this
face. Emma Watson's in it?
Is it? What's her name?
Emma Stone.
Sorry. I'm getting everyone's name half right. Emma Stone is in there, and she's really good with the weird faces.
Emma Bovary is in
there. She can play a lot of different levels and play comedy really well. Let's get her to do that. Zach Galifianakis, what's his deal? Well, he's kind of crazy bananas. You know what? No, let's just pull him in, and you're always going to think he's going to go nuts, but he's not going to go nuts. We're going to just pull him in. And just fucking using everyone the best you could use them. And there's no character in there that you go, yeah, that was a superfluous character. You know, you could cut that character out and the movie would be fine. Yeah, it all seemed like necessary. And that's rare for a movie. It feels like you can always trim something out of a movie and you'll be okay. And you probably could do that with Boyhood. You know, there's a lot of scenes in Boyhood you could like take out and go like, yeah, I still get it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I did really like Boyhood as well.
Wow.
Did you see Boyhood?
I did not see either film.
Oh, very
I was really.
Did you see any of the films?
I did not see The Imitation Game, which I did not like that much.
Okay.
We talked about that one and why I didn't like it. And I objected to it winning screenplay, award for screenplay as well. I just felt that it was a film that didn't know what story it should tell. It was, you know, it wanted to tell this wartime story, but it felt compelled to have this bookended, you know, perfunctory.
It's tough not to
storyline.
Say what happened to the guy. And I get that.
Well.
But then it really felt like it was trying to do a different movie at the end.
It felt shoehorned.
It felt jammed in. It was just like, oh, geez, we forgot to mention that. All right, let's get it all in. Yeah. All in. Get it all in. Load it all in. Load it all up at the end. Yeah. And like, let's maybe put it all through, you know, and it changes the
pacing. Well, you can rely on people's knowledge of someone to give that resonance. You know, you can have him be a hero, but we know what the end result of the story is, you know. And I mean, and a lot of those things that, like, the whole suicide thing isn't like surely known. Like it's not necessarily true that he killed himself. He may have had suffered from exposure to arsenic while working on with chemicals in confined spaces.
I didn't know that. Okay.
He was working with a lot of stuff like in an apartment, and so you know he may have exposed himself to it because people say that, according to people at the time, he was. You know, dealing well with the whole chemical castration, like he was joking about it and he knew it wasn't forever. And so, you know, he was just dealing with it. And so he wasn't super depressed by it or anything. He was just dealing with the reality of what this kind of ignominious thing that had happened to him and being very, very British and sort of giving it the stiff upper lip and making little jokes about it and continuing his work, you know, and exploring things he was interested in. And so, you know, and then suddenly he kills himself. So it didn't make sense to anyone at the time. Like there were people who knew him who didn't feel that that was a proper ruling, and the autopsy was botched as well. So, so that story is very romantic, and it's possibly true, but it's also possibly not true.
Yeah, it also.
And so it feels like it needs more exploration than this film that just kind of throws it on.
But
at the
you've
end.
Got such a huge story to tell about the computer itself that it's tough to then go. By the way. People were really treated badly, and we should look on that with holy, oh my God.
Yeah.
And we should.
But
we
I mean,
should.
You could have that in the film.
Yeah.
You could have a gay element in the film that's either, you know, humiliating for him or dangerous for him.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that gets commented on and puts
really
him in peril.
And it didn't really seem like they didn't really pepper it with that so that
Not
by the end,
all.
Yeah, you didn't pay it off. The pacing on it, I think, was the problem, was the problem with that. It's tough when you've got a story about a person's life. It's just
But
tough.
It wasn't about his life. It was about
a particular
segment.
Oh, I understand that. But because it did become about his life at the end. And it's like you didn't earn the story about his life.
Yeah, well,
you were telling the short – oh, wait. No, now we're just doing too much.
Well, that's right. It'd be like doing a film about Edison inventing the light bulb and then shoehorning this story about the electric chair in near the end,
mm-hmm.
you know, his fight with Tesla.
And then doing...
Like, it's interesting, but why do we have to do that?
Also, the thing that bothered me about the film... And again, I was all right with the film. But what bothered me about the film is when you need two full scrolls of what happened afterwards, you know, well, you haven't told enough story. Yeah. You know, then it's just like, and then this happened, and this, and this, and this, and this. I mean, I don't mind at the end of a movie where, like, this character went on to this, and this character went on to that, and that's okay. But we had so much. Yeah. And then it was like, by the way, and this happened, and then this happened, and this, which we now today call blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, just fucking show it to me.
Yeah.
Shoot a shot, you know, and show me the thing. And show someone now using that thing. It just looked like you had a bunch of script left that you couldn't, like, shoot. I'm like, just put it up on the screen at the end, and we're done. Oscar, please.
I did enjoy the screenwriter's speech, though. I thought that was good. And in fact, I enjoyed all of the very political speeches that were made.
Mm-hmm.
And people recognizing, like, Eddie Redmayne, is that his name? The guy who won for Theory of Everything.
You are asking the wrong person.
That's
because
true.
I will tell you. Do you mean Eddie Murphy, Dave?
Eddie Fisher is who I'm referring to.
Oh, very good.
I like that he referenced people suffering from ALS, and I like that Patricia Arquette had a very,
pay us the same amount of money, you bastards.
That's right. I thought that was really good, that she was very vociferous in her beliefs at the end, and that it wasn't embarrassing.
Right.
It didn't feel like a rant.
And common in legend, John Lennon. John Legend? Is that correct?
Barely not his real name, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. They both got funny names. It's real names are funny.
Because one name was Lonnie Lane. I was like, what is he? The brother of Lois Lane. It's like he's a character from Metropolis.
Yeah.
He's popped
in. Put him in that.
His name is very common.
And again, this is just me. This is just me math wise.
Yeah.
Where he was saying that, you know, there's more African American men in prison today than there were in who were slaves.
Yeah.
To which you go, well, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
I'd like, and it doesn't matter that what's the fucking percentage.
Yeah,
but like, there's a bit of me mathematically that just goes, well, there was a lot less people back then, right? Like, we seriously have millions more people now, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, that's terrible. That is terrible.
Yeah.
And that is terrible. And no one can say that's not terrible.
It is an odd
statistic. But mathematically, what you're saying is horrible. Mm-hmm. It's the most incarceration of anywhere in the world, percentage-wise.
Why not say 30% of African-American men are incarcerated
right now?
It's shocking. Because of freakingly stupid drug
rules. Absolutely.
Rules.
Fucking shocking. Yeah. But like, referring to it back then when it was like a much smaller number, it's like, I get what you're saying, but that to me, and I get you're connecting two things, and I see where you're going, and artistically it works, but mathematically it doesn't, and I guess we don't need math right now because it's more about art. But yeah, that was like, I'm not sure about, fucking, what am I going to say? I'm not going to say nothing about that. Go ahead.
But you know what they say, Ian?
What's that?
Free is the magic number.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought, of course, that it's a weird left turn here. The Lego Movie not being nominated for Best Animated Film is bullshit.
Yeah.
Absolute fucking bullshit.
You saw the other film that won?
No, I have not seen
the
that one yet.
Six?
No, I have not seen that one.
A lot of people like that film a lot. So, I mean,
yep.
Could be right.
Could be right. I may
I don't
be
know.
Crazy. Just might be a lunatic.
Because a film that
forward.
Has a guy yelling spaceship over and over again for 5 minutes pretty much cannot be denied
so
the Oscar.
So funny.
God, it's a very good film.
Like how
I don't want to judge until I see
how doubled over was the audience laughing at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to
bold choices and a film that no one thought was going to be good.
But you have to admit that you were the person that was
screaming no to Feast as well.
Yes. And you did not like Everything Is Awesome not winning Best Song.
Well, you can't.
Over
when
Glory.
You got a song about, you know, Martin Luther King and I mean there's no way that's going to go. Like I understand that.
Yeah.
But, you know, listen, we had an Oscars there where Batman sang a song.
Yes,
Batman was singing. Batman just came out and sang about his dead parents.
It's so funny.
And you know what? That's great. That is great. You need that. And
it's so right up your alley.
Wouldn't it be funny, like, afterwards, though? Sorry. If you had done the, you know, the really somber song, you know, about Selma and all this kind of stuff, and then immediately, and now everything is awesome, and they're all dancing and doing that. Oh, boy.
Sounds
you
good.
Could not have done that.
Sounds fun.
Just fridge to the microwave.
Sounds
everything really would have shattered.
Well, I mean, I think they should have done that song at the end. Just had like all the Oscar winners come out and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, the thing I like about that song is it's awesome to win and it's awesome to lose.
Yeah.
And then they repeated lose, lose, lose. It's like, well, you can't even lose because you really weren't nominated for Best Film, but that's fine. And then, yeah, them handing
They weren't
out
even
all,
nominated for Best
Film? They weren't nominated for Best Animated Film, no.
They weren't nominated at all.
For Best Animated Film? They were nominated for Best Song. That's why you heard them singing.
Yeah. No, I heard that.
But they were not nominated for Best Animated Film, no.
That does seem shockingly dumb.
Yes, it does. I mean, there were some good films in there. I'm not saying
if you say so.
That.
I haven't seen any of them. But
okay,
my kids are no longer of an age where I
David, animation isn't just for children anymore.
I know. I had to drag my daughters to go see Paddington with me so I could feel like, I'm just a dad taking his kids to see Paddington. I'm not going because I love the Michael Bond books, because I'm a big... You know, those are hard books to read when you're a kid, by the way. Did you read Paddington?
Yes, I actually did read Paddington. Yep.
A lot of work to get through those accents, the Cockney accents.
Not as hard as reading a Rupert book, but yes.
Why is Rupert hard?
Because
you have three different things you can read.
I know, and I used to read just the top level, and it's fine. But then I'd try to get through the text, and it would just be, oh boy, I don't know.
But the Paddington was hard because he would phonetically write the Cockney accents. So you'd be reading it and be like, what's all this then? Ooh, or, you know, just like E doesn't know where he's, you know, and it's all this kind of, you're trying to read these weird accents. And when you're like seven, you don't even know what the hell, what is this? why does it say ooh instead of, you know, why is there two O's? Like, that doesn't make any sense. What the hell, man?
And I watched all the shorts because I got lent the screeners for all the shorts.
You were pretty disappointed in what one?
You know what?
I was pretty exhilarated because I had predicted it through my friend David.
Right. Now with the best short, the phone call was the one.
Once again, I predicted that one.
Yeah, you did.
With the help of my friend.
Look, dude, it was like, you know what it felt like? Okay. Now I get you can do whatever you want with a short film, but a short film feels almost like, you know, here we've got at our theater awards, small theater category, large theater category.
Yeah.
And so small theater category, the local actors come and do the thing. Yeah. And large theater, you can have the bigger actors come and do the thing.
Yeah.
And it felt like with the short film, they just front loaded it with too many, like, it was just too many pros. It was like Jim Broadbent's there. And then tug every heartstring. They go like, oh my God, everything. But having like, you go to heaven and see your dog waiting at the pearly gates for you. And he goes, everything you've done is all right. Well, like almost everything. It was just all the tricks. It was very well acted. It was very fine. It was good, but I don't think it was the best.
You're not the person to ask this now, of course, but because it had that actress, so she's also in Paddington. From Happy Go Lucky, yeah.
Happy Go Lucky, yeah. She's so good.
Very good, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she can do some good face there.
Yes.
She can play two things with her face at the same time and make you go. And it's so good that when they did do and now we're going to do this plot-wise, are you going to do that with me plot-wise? Are you? Okay, fine. Then we're going to go down that road.
Gosh darn, I wish I could remember her name.
Oh, but she is very good. Let's just say she's great.
Very good actress, yeah. She's also in a more recent Jane Austen adaptation of Persuasion.
She's done a lot of stuff like that I've seen her in lately that she's, you know, really, really good. But you bring out Jim Broadbent. Well, you brought an atomic bomb to the party. Yes. And there you are. Yeah.
And apparently they work for free. So that was nice of them.
Yeah. There was a really beautiful one called, I think it was called Yak Butter. I think it was called something like that. Okay. But that one was just like, you know, you just, okay, this is okay. Really good. And yep, that one should have won. I would have given it that one.
Huh.
That's just me. Huh. And with the animated one, that just pissed me off. Because, like, you know, you just almost feel like Disney doesn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like Disney is the big boys just coming in like, yeah, we got this, we got this, we got this.
Yeah.
It's like the Beatles showing up to, like, an amateur night and just going, yeah, we're going to play. And they play their thing. It's good. Of course, you're going to fucking win. You got all the money in the universe. Whereas the other ones I thought had much nicer ideas. Yeah. There was one by a Canadian woman about three girls getting a bike. And it was so good. She did another film that was like My Mother Used to Iron Shirts for the King.
Okay.
And it's a really good film. You can see it on YouTube. Very, very good. There's also The Danish King is another film of hers. Very, very good. And I forget her
name. She likes
kings. She does like kings. And it's a story of like three girls who are growing up with architect parents.
And they use their playing card to make a sound on their bike.
Oh, we don't get quite to that.
Oh.
But you know what? They might. But their parents are architects, so they have uncomfortable chairs where they're always falling over in them, and it's great little things. And I was watching it with my wife and sister-in-law, and there's a lot of use of Finnish fabrics to make clothing that they sew themselves, and they were just both screaming at this is our life! This is our life!
I can see why you're like. I mean, I might have a totally different experience.
And I have a little bit of a love thing for NFB films, and there's like some characters in there that you go, oh yeah, there you go. That's a little bit of that.
I would have to put myself in that little category as well.
Yeah, there's one about a pig that is getting bullied, but his job is to man a windmill that stops the darkness that will destroy the town. Well, that bullied pig, something's going to happen. And something does happen. It was okay, too. It was fine. Yeah. There's a lot of okay. And there's actually, it was nice that they had at least one that was just a short, funny one that was just like, oh, that's a good idea. And, You didn't over, but it just was over so fast that you were just like, thank you for not taking a million years. Because these short films, a lot of times you go, that's a good idea. And now we're just going for, it's called short film. Short film. Yeah, but that's fine. But every one of them was pretty good, though. Like, every one of them was really watchable.
Oh, that's good. Well, I'm glad. No, I enjoyed it until the vomiting started. I quite enjoyed the whole thing.
And what film was that? that occurred?
No one predicted that ending. Mm-hmm. No one predicted that ending to the Oscars.
So many people I've just been reading are just like, it was the worst Oscars ever. It was the worst hosted. It was the worst. Do you remember when James Franco hosted the? Do you remember any of that?
I don't remember that. He hosted the Oscars?
Yeah, co-hosted the Oscars. I forget with who, and I feel bad. Oh, it was. Damn it! I'm forgetting her name. Anyway. A pretty good actress, and she was trying to make up for his nonsense. He was not a great host.
Huh.
No. It was like, oh, that charm isn't going all the way. Yeah, he was off of, like, whatever, the 127 days.
Oh,
so
okay.
He was like, oh, he's a dramatic actor, but he's also a comedic actor. He'd be a great host. We can't do better. Oh, boy. And I think it was after Seth MacFarlane had hosted, and everyone, shame on him for all of his jokes that made fun of Hollywood and weren't sensitive. And
everyone said that about David Letterman as well.
Everyone said everything about everyone, and it's all bullshit. Like, the Oscars always drags. It's always got some funny. Mm-hmm. It's always got some good. It's never been perfect. You're remembering it differently. You're just remembering your past. It's fine.
Right.
It's all fine.
Bob Hope was so much better because his jokes always flew.
Yes, why not? Of course they were. And they all hold up today. That's why you quote so many Bob Hope jokes.
From the Oscars.
That's right.
How memorable they were.
Do you think you quote a Bob Hope joke from anything but the On the Road movies? And even then, rarely.
Just the road films.
That's what I mean.
The On the Road movies is the series of Jack Kerouac films.
Yeah, remember when it was him and
Bob Hope, Jack Kerouac, Bing Crosby.
That's right.
On the Road together. Yeah. On the Road. Yeah. Oh, man, what a film. Neil Cassidy.
Speaking of the Beats, patty cake, baker's man, pow. Then they take his car.
Yes, they do.
And then they get into a van, and oh, they grow as people. They grow.
They certainly grew. Well, you know what? You know what I did today at work? The last couple of days at work, I put together 32 pallets of product.
Now, what is a pallet of product?
A pallet is, you know, the big wooden... It's kind of
I understand artistically when you call a pallet.
No, not a painting pallet. This is like the pallet of wood that you stack product on.
All right.
And so, yeah, I made 32 of those up and shrink wrapped them today and put them on a container for 2 hours. That was a container part, putting them on the container. That was a lot of fun.
Now, you wrote me saying you're going to be late because you just crawled out of a container.
Yeah, that was
a container. Did you accidentally seal yourself in one of these containers?
No, but we finished the container in the most dangerous thing I've ever done in my life at work.
Okay.
It was so stupid.
All right. Tell me about it and then never do that again.
Because
Dave, you're almost to the end of this job.
I know.
You've made it out alive.
I know.
Don't be a fool.
It was just so crazy because what we did.
You don't get danger pay.
We filled the container.
Yeah.
It was filled right to the door with these stacked pallets.
Sure.
And then we wanted to add two these big bariatric mattresses. Bariatrics is for people who are very overweight.
Mm-hmm.
Very overweight.
Right.
And so these mattresses are...
Named after Paddington Bear. They were originally called Paddington Bariatric Mattresses.
That's right.
If you ate too much marmalade.
They're full of marmalade. And they feel like it. They do. Like this, it's as big as, as long as a normal bed, 80 inches.
Yeah.
And then it's maybe a little smaller than a double.
Okay.
And then it's kind of as thick as... Maybe a foot thick.
Right. So before you loaded them, you jumped on them and went, wee, is fun.
No, because they're so hard, they're not even comfortable.
Oh, like, very good. Okay.
I don't even know how you could sleep because they have to be hard because a person who's heavy would sink through. That's right. And so they're very, very, very heavy. My boss and I, we were trying to carry these things out. We were like, because we were both tired too, like at the end of our day. And we're just like, bringing them out. And our forklift had died. So we had to borrow the forklift from next door. And so the driver, he brought it down and he was doing the driving for us. So we put the mattress on the forks.
Yes.
Then I stood on one fork and my boss stood on the other fork.
Uh-huh.
And then we were lifted up in the air.
Wait, while you're holding it.
While we're holding the mattress.
Yeah, they say do that, right? On most forklifts.
This is how safe it is.
Yeah, this is a step.
Yeah.
That's what they say on the forklift.
That's
for
right.
human use.
For human use.
Yes. Load yourself up.
And as we went up, as we got closer to the top, we then let the mattress fall forward so then it was angled towards going inside.
Yeah.
And then he kept going up.
Uh-huh.
And then it kind of got straight. And then we kind of pushed the mattress in.
Sure.
Then don't look down.
Right.
Whatever you do, because you're like 30 feet in the air.
What the? the shit?
Don't look down.
What's wrong with you? Are you standing on a forklift 30 feet in the air?
Yes.
Okay, let me just ask you this question. Oh, have sure. you in any way tied yourself
no.
to this?
No.
No strapping, no. loosey-goosey, 30 yeah. feet in the air, almost yeah. to the end of this job.
Yeah.
Super heavy mattress.
Yeah. So we did that twice.
No!
Yes, we did.
Don't do that.
I like your outrage.
I am outraged.
My boss almost fell though, because he made the mistake when we got the last one in, and he was holding onto the container.
Right.
And then the guy started to lower it down, and he's like, "Whoa!" Yeah. And then he had nothing, so I grabbed him.
Yes.
And I held him, and luckily I was holding on.
Oh, God.
Oh, it was close.
Oh, get it! God damn it! Look, it's too late now to get a union. But Jesus Christ, if you had a union,
you know, there's a lot of solidarity in that union.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
We all agree with each other.
So the guy in the forklift, he was like, "Yeah, that sounds good. Up you go. I got no problem with this."
Yeah.
Yeah, he had no problem with it.
Because he was sitting down.
And the boss had no problem with it?
He was on the forklift with me.
Now, did he almost fall the first time or the second time?
Second time.
Oh, okay. That's good. You think if he almost fell the first time,
yeah,
do you think he would have done it the second time?
The first time, no.
Okay, so
I don't know. Maybe
let
he would have.
Play the scenario.
We had to get rid of them.
Let's play the scenario
we
out
had to
for
do
you
it.
Right now. So, Dave.
Which, the one that didn't happen. Let's play out the scenario.
No, let's play out this scenario.
Okay. Sure.
So you fall. So you fall 30 feet, and I'm assuming it's a padded floor.
We're on the concrete.
Concrete floor. So 30 feet. I don't want to say that you just turned 49, but a 49-year-old man falling 30 feet to a concrete floor.
Yes.
How does that go?
That's pretty much a helicopter and to bring me to the hospital, I would say.
Pretty much?
Yeah.
That's great. And so how does that affect your next job? Are they fine with you being a quadriplegic? Are they fine with just wheeling all your work to you at home and just having you work while you hear the beep?
Well, here's the thing.
No, that's not the thing. The thing is, don't fucking do
that
again, is the thing. No, I'm not your parent. But imagine you went to one of your daughter's jobs and you saw your daughter and she is straining, carrying something heavy and her boss is there with her and her boss has put her on a 30-foot high forklift and you're seeing her loading the thing in and boss almost slips and almost dies and she could have almost slipped and almost died. You go and you see her at work. What conversation do you have with her afterwards? Like, "Good day's work, darling. I support you working at this place. Continue tomorrow with this behavior." Or do you go, "I'm going to have a word with him and he may not be coming out with legs that walk. I'm going to go have a chat with your boss."
Legs that walk.
Yeah, I'm going to go have a chat with your boss over how you're being treated and what you're being asked to do. Excuse me, whatever you hear, don't open that door.
I don't know.
No, you do know. You do know. You completely know. You would not say it's worth risking your life for this job. There's a lot of things risking your life for. Rescuing your family. Maybe even rescuing a stranger. What's not worth risking your life is an obese person's mattress that you're loading 30 feet in the air. Look, I understand obesity kills, but it shouldn't kill you. You go to the gym every fucking other day.
Well, every day. But my feeling was that if I was slipping, I could leap onto the top of the container.
Yeah, and if that elevator's falling, you could jump
thinking.
At the last second.
Believe me, I never let go for a second. I always held on, because that's scary. It was scary.
Of course it's scary. You know why it's scary? Because it's deadly is why it's scary. Things are scary. Punching a tiger in the face is scary. Not scary like The Dark, I'm a scared, or this movie is creeping me out. It's scary as in your body's telling you don't do this.
Yeah.
Okay, now listen.
But we did it.
I understand.
It's done.
I understand it's done.
The past is the past.
Right. So let's talk future. Will you be doing this again?
No.
Are you sure? If your boss says we're going to do this, do you then go, "All right, boss, I'll do this with you"? Do you? Do you do it again?
Maybe.
Okay, don't.
Right.
Here's why.
Why?
Because you've got a family.
Yeah, that's true.
And you've got a life. And you've
silly.
Got things that are way more important than this.
That's true.
Yes.
It's kind of silly. Yesterday, actually, my new job, people from my new job came to get racking from my currently old job.
And they saw you up on that thing and went, "This guy is a fool."
No, they didn't.
Fire him.
But they did see me climb up the side of the racking to help them take the stuff down.
Okay.
Because they do that all the time, right? That's nothing. Is that bad to climb up the racking?
I don't know what the racking looks like.
30 feet.
Okay. Look, if there was any regulation to this, seriously, if this was a business that was unionized, just picture that
there's
in your
no
head.
Way it would happen.
Yeah, of course it
no
would.
Way.
Why is that?
Because
of how many people died doing it, right?
You couldn't cowboy.
That's right.
That
after the first three people died, the union went, "You can't do this anymore. You're one of those first three people, so don't do it."
They can't. Yeah, you can't.
Your life is important. Okay, please continue.
So I was helping, you know, I helped them bring down the racking and then load it onto the truck. And then because the guys who came were from Toronto, they didn't want to walk home and walk back to their work in the rain. I don't know. They didn't dress for the rain. I guess they thought it was sunny here all the time. But so I gave them a ride back, and then I went into the back just to kind of visit. And I thought, well, since I'm here, I'll just help you guys take it off and stuff. But there was enough people there that didn't need my help. But when I was there, they went, this guy's a real hard worker. So that was nice.
Oh, that is nice. Yeah. And he's crazy.
He's crazy.
Let me ask you this question. Now, you're covered by workers' comp. I mean, I'm covered by workers' comp. I have to pay my own workers' comp because I got a small business here.
Yeah.
All right. So if in workers' comp, say you do something incredibly dangerous.
It's still covered.
It's still covered. Yeah. So your boss tells you, I need to move this mattress across a tightrope. And it's between these two buildings. Yes. And you do it. And you fall off said
but imagine if you did it.
And you, yeah.
Well, what a story.
Uh-huh. What a story. Here's what the story is. Oh, how much extra do you get paid? Nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what it would be. It was like, it would be like, I moved it to the other warehouse. Tell us the story again, Grandpa, about how you moved that thing from one place to another.
I know, I worked an extra hour and a half today or so.
There you are. But so Jeez. You can do anything in workers' comp, no matter how dangerous, and workers' comp will go, here's your money. They won't go, look, this is beyond what you should have been doing. So we're not going to cover you falling 30 feet. From this, like, look, if you decide your boss goes, I want to practice my trapeze tricks in the middle of work, and you're handing things off by a trapeze, yes. and then you slip.
Without a net,
yeah, obviously, and you fall onto the concrete 30 feet down.
Yeah.
Does workers' comp go, well, you're covered, buddy. We cover it all. Yeah. I don't think they do.
Yeah, they do.
No, I don't think they do. Yeah. I don't. I hope I don't. I'm paying for that. I hope I don't cover that. I don't want employees of mine to be doing that nonsense.
Well, then you should take down the trapeze that you have here in the office.
If I sold, okay, we've got bees on the roof. If I told my employees, go up and get me some fresh honey.
Yeah.
You know, which is, and then they were allergic to bees and they got stung and they couldn't work again.
Yeah.
And would they be getting compensation even though they knew that they were allergic to bees? They knew it. They knew this thing they were doing was dumb. They then get cash forever from workers' comp. Is that how that works?
It's a form of insurance, yes.
It is insurance, but here's the thing about insurance. Insurance only goes up to a certain point, and that's you being dumb.
No, I don't.
No, you can't do anything in your car. You can't just go like...
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. You can't do
insurance.
You can't do Dukes of Hazzard style jumps and go like, you know, if you... Okay, if you're drag racing... In Tokyo Drift style, in your car, and you get into an accident, your insurance covers you the same as if you were just in a regular fender bender.
Yeah.
You're telling me, even though they go, yeah, this guy, famous race, like street racer.
Yeah, that's why.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's why the age group that tends to do Tokyo drifting pays so much more than my age group who tends to not do very much Tokyo drifting. That's why they
let me tell you, those Tokyo Drift kids would see you up on that thing and go like, that guy's nuts.
They might.
Okay. Once again, I turn this over to our gentle listeners. This over to our gentle listeners. Gentle listeners, those of you that like David, even if you don't like David, even if you think this is a real jerk store, going up on the unhooked on the forklift 30 feet in the air on the concrete floor with an incredibly heavy mattress that's heavy at ground level. Let's establish that. Heavy at ground level.
Yes.
Going up with that, is that legit and he should be made to do that? Or should David have said, this is our talk about thing. It's like in school. We're like, what would you do? Spinning question mark. Let's open it to the class. What are things you should have said to the boss? You know, things like, hell no.
Yeah.
I've got use for my back. I intend to do other things with the latter half of my life. Or you should have said, I'm a good employee. I'm going to do, since I'm 2 days before retirement, I'm going to take on the serial killer who's a super genius.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell him, come and get me, sucker.
That's exactly what happens.
Uh-huh.
You haven't seen Lethal Weapon, apparently. He's only 2 days before retirement.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. How are we doing for time?
I think we filled the show. With our nonsense.
We'll fill this bucket. Folks, remember to not vote for us for anything because no one cares.
In the end.
But you know what people do care about? Appearance. And there's nothing that says I care about my appearance more than a snappy shirt.
Brushing your teeth.
And so that's why we sell toothpaste. David, get on the trolley here. I'm trying to sell some merch.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So why not go to sneakydragon.com and click on our merch.
Yep.
And pick up a shirt designed by David Dedrick so he doesn't have to do this stunt work with mattresses for the obese.
Yes.
How about that? If you had bought more shirts, he wouldn't be up there. What if you just heard he hit the concrete 30 feet down and you go, I wish I'd bought a shirt. Well, now's your chance. Go there, find a shirt you like and click on buy and we'll get that shirt right off to you. We'll send some other fun stuff in the mail. Yep. If you'd like one of David's title cards, you can see that at our title cards, and you think maybe I can make a shirt out of that. Why don't you contact us and we'll see if we can. Maybe we can, maybe we can't. We're not going to make any promises, but it's a possibility.
We are not making promises.
No. And we'd love to hear from you. SneakyDragon.com is our website. That is where our forums are. Just underneath all of our episodes, you can talk to us. You can also do that, of course, on Facebook, Twitter, Sneaky_Dragon. And we are SneakyD...
at SneakyDragon.com.
At SneakyDragon.com. That is also our email. We enjoy hearing from you there.
That's right. For some reason, SneakyDragon was available as a .com.
That's right.
I don't know. Don't know why. I felt like I jumped on it just in time.
Sure did.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky you.
Very much so.
Yeah, that's right. Lucky Dedrick. That's why you can put him up top and he survives van. People being picked up in vans. Oh, my God. If your boss had said to you, let's go get blowjobs in vans,
yeah.
Would you say you got it, boss? Or would you...
Wait, okay, he's going to buy me new shoes?
So anyway, David's got to wrap up the show now.
Well, thanks everyone for listening this week to Sneaky Dragon, the greatest show in the West Ender. And
yeah, let's just say we won.
Well, why not?
Yeah, number one. Woo, we won.
Us.
Woo! Prove us different.
That's right.
Find the proof.
Jerk stores.
We should just call our store the Jerk Store now.
I can change
just
it.
Just click on that. There
I
you go.
I can change it.
Check for Jerk Store.
Find your shirts in the Jerk Store. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week. And I promise to be better rested.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye now. So that means you.
It's not really 69. It's 169. It's doing 69 with one person watching. You know you're not tittering.
What's the math on that? Okay.
That's weird. One, then 69.
I need that Schoolhouse Rocks for me to understand it.